Welcome to The Dynamics Hot Dish, the podcast where Ashley Steiner, Allie Nelson, and Liz McLennan dish up the latest news and insights about dynamics in the Power Platform. Join us to explore business applications and low-code development with tips, tricks, and real-world experiences. So grab a seat at the table and let's dig in.
Hi, everyone. We have some bonus content coming to you this week because Ashley and I just had the opportunity of attending the Microsoft Power Platform Conference down in Vegas. So we wanted to share a little bit about our experiences at this conference with you, maybe highlight some things that we've learned, some people we saw. Who knows? We're just going to chat about it today and hope you get something out of it. So with that, I mean, I think it was a fantastic week. I mean, whenever you have a conference in Vegas, it's going to be tiring and exciting.
Yeah, there were a lot of people. So in the app, like the on-site app, there were over 6,400 people like registered in the app. So I don't know if that was just who downloaded the app or if they preloaded like everyone who attended. I guess I would assume at a tech conference, everyone would download the app. But that's a lot of people for your second year of a conference. And I think that's double what they had last year. So if like you can imagine the growth that they're going to continue to see. It was a lot of people. Like everywhere you went, it was just people. So I mean, from that perspective, it was obviously very well attended.
Absolutely. And even the keynote on the very first day, Charles Lamanna's keynote, and he had other people jump into his keynote with him to share information too. But man, the energy in there when you first walked in into the giant auditorium, and where it was in the same room as like the boxing matches that they do at the MGM Grand. Oh, so it was cool. That like giant arena. I was sitting down on the floor with a bunch of my coworkers and they had like giant light up balls going everywhere that were hitting people in the head accidentally, I think. So those got stopped kind of quick. But it was just like this crazy energy. They gave you these bracelets that lit up that were like programmed. So they all lit up at the same time and they all kind of changed colors and they all flashed along with the presentation. So it was just like super energetic from the very first day. And you could tell that everybody was really, really excited to be there.
Yeah, I'm really sad I missed some of those bigger things. I took some work calls, which I would say is probably the first piece of advice I would have for anybody going to a conference is try to work as little as possible and attend as much of the conference as you can. Because there were some things that I just had to miss for my client calls. And I was really bummed to miss the opening keynote by Charles Lamanna.
And truly, everything goes by so quickly that even if you say, I'm going to step away and do this little client thing for a little bit, you suddenly have to jump back into it and look at your schedule and figure out like, okay, so what's the next session I can go to? Do I want to jump into the middle of a section? Whatever. Mm-hmm. And that first day, Ashley, was truthfully really tough because all the sessions were only 30 minutes. Right. So,
yeah. So that afternoon, it was tough to go, yeah. Especially like if a room was full or if like, okay, the content quite didn't go where you wanted, like you only had so much time to like run to another room. So,
right. Yeah. And that was tough. So some of the things that I loved about Charles's keynote, I know there's a ton of people online who have been recapping the details, and this whole conference was very co-pilot heavy. Of course, right? It's the hot new thing this year, but it was very cool to see a lot of it in action, and there were truly live demos. And truthfully, I learned that I really need to up my PowerPoint skills because some of the just like slide transitions and other animations they had in the slides were crazy. And it just was so seamless and everything went really well. You know, there was a couple demos that didn't go as planned. So I know that they were truly demos because for a while
that
they were
so
smooth.
That was going to be my first question was because I've seen lots of co-pilot demos. And for those of you listening, I put that into quotes because it's just a lot of like pre-recorded videos. So it's kind of actually good to hear that some things didn't work as expected because then you know they're actually using it real life, like in lifetime.
Right, exactly. And Thomas Domke, the CEO of GitHub. I'm like, I was about to say OpenAI. I was like, that's not right. The CEO of GitHub, he was probably one of my favorite presenters too. He live coded a snake game using Copilot. Oh,
like the legacy, like snake that you play on your Nokia phone. That's awesome.
Yes. And you could, he was just so fun to listen to, and you could hear him just having a good time as he was going through it. But he did it in like, I don't know, 15 minutes. And wow. It made sense to me. So for someone who like doesn't code ever, and I never go into those coding databases, I was like, oh, I can probably do this.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that one was really fun.
Yeah. What else did you really enjoy about the conference? Like, what else really stuck out to you? Was it content? Was it people? The atmosphere? Like, what else was appealing?
Yeah, so much. I mean, so this is really funny too, but I had to spend some time at the booth because I was there with Stone Ridge where I work. Yep. And I loved it. I loved being at the booth because so many people were stopping by and being willing to have conversations with us, you know, about what we do. And what I learned from being at the booth is there were so many people there that were brand new to the Power Platform. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of interest out there from a wide array of industries, anything from like $50 billion companies down to like a couple million dollar companies and everywhere in between. And everyone is starting to adopt the Power Platform. And also, like, regardless of what CRM system they use and regardless of what ERP system they use. So we talk to people who have like Sightline and SAP and, of course, finance and operations, GP, you know, and everything under the gambit there, everyone's starting to use the Power Platform. And I just learned that there's a huge desire to learn more about it. And that's also why I'm really excited that we do this podcast where we can share information with people, because there's a huge genuine interest in wanting to learn more.
Yeah, I think you raise a good point, because I think that the legacy people out there, right, we've been in this space for so long, is okay, it's this Microsoft Dynamics, you know, oh, we can't talk about, you know, that dirty word Salesforce and, you know, the Oracle ERPs and all of that. But Power Platform really opens it up where you're not a Microsoft shop partner anymore, because you might be working, you know, with Power Automate projects with a client who has Salesforce or SAP. And while you're not necessarily servicing their CRM, you have to know enough about it to put the Power Platform on top of it. So I agree, Ali. I actually met quite a few people who don't use any sort of Microsoft ERP software or CRM, anything, but they're putting the Power Platform on top of the tools that they do have, or software that they do have. So I agree. I found that fascinating. I also think it's going to really open up Microsoft's eyes to seeing how, you know, maybe they're, you know, the money needs to go into the Power Platform, which is scary for me as somebody who's a Dynamics legacy person, because the Power Platform reaches so many different kinds of organizations. So that's exactly. Not coming from, and that statement is not coming from Microsoft, by the way, but I think we can all see where their money's going. So
yeah, Power Platform, Copilot, all in. And I even talking to some folks from Microsoft, they stopped by our booth and were talking to us a little bit on the side about getting some supply chain apps in CE and kind of using that, you know, because they're model driven power apps, right? Mm-hmm. And they were talking about having like some warehouse management type things coming into CE as well. And again, where the money is being put, right? I've heard the rumors swirling of like, well, F&O is going to go on Dataverse or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I have no idea, again, if that's true or not, but I've kind of heard
all rumors. We'll talk about rumors all day here.
Yeah. But I think people are recognizing that you need more nimble applications and you need mm-hmm. to be able to develop more nimbly. And that's why they're looking at like CE or Power Apps, Power Platform for developing those types of applications.
Yeah. I'll say what I really liked is that in the expo area, of course, I loved the Stone Ridge booth. I have to say that, Ali, since you're here. But you. I did enjoy the booths, right, walking around. It wasn't, obviously, it only being its second year, you know, it's not a huge sponsored conference yet, especially since it is Microsoft driven. So it was actually it wasn't overwhelming to walk through the sponsor area like it is at some other events. You could actually stop and have a conversation with everybody. There was enough time. But there was a huge Microsoft booth and the product team was there. So if you had a question or an issue or, hey, I want to bounce something off of you, you know, it was the product team, like the people that are building these solutions at Microsoft were there on site, happy to have any sort of conversation with you, regardless of who you were. And I should have probably taken more advantage of that. I've seen it at previous, I'm dating myself now at these Microsoft conferences, like Convergence and things like that. But they used to have that there. And I love that they brought that back for this conference. Because, I mean, what a huge, you know, advantage to people to get in front of the product team themselves.
Right. I went over there a handful of times. And even if you feel a little bit guilty about not taking more advantage of it, it was always very busy.
Every time I walked by, there was nowhere for me. And I was like, okay, like I'll come back. And then of course, when I came back, it was still just as busy. So.
And there were so many Microsoft people there too. So it's not like it was understaffed. There was totally enough people. It just shows you that's how much interest there was in people coming over to talk to the Microsoft team. And they were doing Q&As and you could literally ask any question you wanted. I sat over there for a session by one of the CVPs of Dataverse. And just hearing some of the questions that were being asked. And so it was a wide array, you know, it was very cool. There'd always be an announcement on the loudspeaker where we'd go, what is happening over there? And then run over really quick to go check it out. It was, awesome. It's just awesome to see Microsoft's involvement with the conference.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really, this is why I'm excited. Microsoft is kind of back in the conference game because they bring so much, because if it's their own, right, they're invested in making it great. So it's really nice to have a Microsoft conference back, I will say.
You mean with the users?
Yeah. I guess, yes, that's true. I guess there's always been kind of like Ignite and Build, but those are very specific, you know, to developers and things like that. So yeah, that's a good point. I guess it's not that Microsoft hasn't been doing conferences, but they haven't been doing one at this scale, I guess I should say.
And so, yeah, so community focused too. And every Microsoft speaker that got on stage said, you know, this is the best community. We have such a good community. And we truly do. I mean, just going online and seeing all the live tweets and the live LinkedIn posts and everybody sharing their experiences. Like, if you work in the Microsoft stack and you didn't make it this year, you should totally look into going next year because it was wonderful. Oh, Ashley, did you get coffee from the coffee robot?
I don't drink coffee.
Oh, okay. I didn't get any either because there's always such a long line. But like, also, what other conference do you go to that has a robot serving you coffee? And then like right across the row has liquid nitrogen ice cream. So there was tons of snacks, tons of food, and robot serving coffee too.
So I have to ask, I mean, we've talked about all the great things. Was there anything that you think could have like gone better or like you didn't go as planned or expected, like something you wish could change next year?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think there were some parts like, and I don't know how you can fix this because there's just so many people, but like transitioning from the keynotes into a different session or into the expo hall got to be insane. There were so many people going everywhere. And then on one of the days too, after the keynotes, the only place to go was the expo hall because there weren't any sessions going on yet. So there was like a mad dash of people. So maybe adding some more, you know, things to do after those keynotes to spread people out a little bit more would be good. I kept making the joke of like, I'm being a sheep, you know, we're all going in the same direction.
Yeah.
But I think that was really the only standout. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, the only standout for me, and of course, this probably, I don't know how widespread this was, right? I was very excited. I did go to a few sessions in the afternoons, and there was this one session on Wednesday that, like, I was on my calendar immediately. Had to go. It was about project operations. We all know that I'm knee-deep in project operations stuff these days. So went and sat down. I wanted a good seat, got there early, and they put up a slide, and it said something about Dynamics 365 Finance, and everyone's kind of like looking around, and come to find out, I guess whoever from Microsoft was supposed to deliver the PO conversation just didn't come or couldn't make it. And so they replaced it with finance topics, which one, we were told by Asif there was no ERP conversations at this conference. So I found that a little interesting because there were F&O sessions. And then second, they like, it wasn't announced. Like, I wish they would have at least put it in the app or something like, hey, notice, like, so I don't know if that happened to other sessions, if there were other sessions where the speaker just couldn't make it or something like that. But I know for a fact, like, I went to one that changed. It just would have been nice if they changed that in the app and, you know, said, hey, we have a fill-in session. So that way, because then by the time, you know, I figured that out and found a new session to go to that, I mean, it was overflow, so I couldn't even get into the room. I will say there were also not a lot of different sessions. The rooms were ginormous to accommodate the size and the amount of people, but there weren't like a ton of sessions offered at the same time. So,
yeah, I would agree with you there. And I would say that a lot of the sessions were similar and kind of at that high level of like, here's what's coming or here's what we're doing, and not so much tactical. So mm-hmm. it would be kind of nice to see some more like, here's some specific examples on how you do these things. Again, kind of coming full circle here, talking about what we discussed at the beginning of this podcast, how so many people were there, had no idea what the Power Platform was, or were just introduced to it. And I think the content might have just been a little bit too detailed or too technical, as opposed to like hitting the like, here's the basics, here's what it is, mm-hmm. here's what it includes, here's how you navigate it. And I think there could be a little bit more of that content in the future.
Got it. Yeah, that was very, in the convergence days, it was very roadmap-y kind of conversations. Here's what's coming, you know, from a business perspective. And then you'd always follow it up with like the community summit, which is now the community summit, used to be the user group summit, which they would say, okay, at convergence in the spring, we heard this, here's how you actually use it. So, but now they're 2 weeks apart. There's no way that could happen anymore. But yeah, I agree. I mean, anytime I've been to these Microsoft conferences, it's actually been kind of that high level, you know, roadmap-y kind of conversations. But I would say that was the only thing that I saw as a detractor, was just the amount of sessions. And and then one of mine, I just wish I would have known before going in.
Yeah, that would be disappointing for sure. And I will say that I enjoyed that the keynotes kind of like kicked it off and started at the beginning. And then there was a couple more the last day of the conference. And I think those were good anchors to keep it roadmappy and stuff. Because I think a lot of energy came out of those. The ones that I like, Charles did a great job. Ryan Cunningham did a great job. Sumit did a great job. There's like just awesome audiences going to those two. But then I think, yeah, maybe expanding on them by offering more sessions later in the day would be a great way to get more of the community involved and give some more options.
Yeah, absolutely. So anything else you want to add on Power Platform Conference before we wrap on kind of our overview and our thoughts on the week?
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I would say is it was a lot of fun. The one personal disappointment I had was I didn't make it to the pool once, and I was really excited to go to the pool.
Same. I even brought a swimsuit and was like, I'm going to go sit by the pool, even if it's just for like an hour. Never made it.
No, but that's okay. Vegas was a great area. I think it's, you know, easy for everybody to get in there. Tons of conference space, tons of things for people to do. And I think it was a great venue with great people, great content. I had a wonderful time.
I guess I would say also the timing, because Formula One was happening. So this trip was just a mess. So I never even left the hotel because it's all attached to the conference center in the hotel. Cause like, I just heard you said you walked down the strip and it wasn't too terrible, but yeah, I had heard from a lot of people. They're like, don't even go out there. It's so ugly. You can't see anything. So I never even ventured outside. Like the only time I was outside was going from the Uber into the hotel and out to the Uber on the way out. So
that was funny. I had some friends that would say the same thing, like end of the day would come and they'd be like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
Cause the conference was where we stayed. And so like dinner, there's so many restaurants and so much in there that I don't know. Sometimes people are just like, I gotta leave. But yeah, F1 will be fun, but you know, we can still see the fountains at the Bellagio. It's just, there's these like giant things going up down the street for stands and spectators, and definitely wasn't the prettiest, but Vegas is still flashy.
Got it. All right. Well, thanks for sharing your insights. I know you attended quite a bit more than I was able to. Yeah, excited to see kind of how the conference grows and changes next year.
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in to Dynamics Hot Dish, your go-to podcast for all things Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform. If you found this episode helpful, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to follow us on social media for even more insights and updates on the latest trends and best practices in business applications and low-code development. We'll be back soon with another delicious serving of Dynamics and Power Platform goodness. Until then, keep innovating and building great solutions.